The debate over fake news has taken a disturbing turn. Edgar Madison Welch of North Carolina was arrested yesterday after he walked into the Comet Ping Pong Pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C., carrying an assault rifle. He fired at least one shot, according to police. No injuries were reported. He told police he came to, quote, self-investigate an election conspiracy theory that Hillary Clinton and Democratic operatives had been using the pizza place as part of an underage prostitution ring. There is no evidence of that. D.C. police have called it a fictitious online conspiracy theory. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Jeremy.
And this theory about Pizzagate has been spread by fringe websites, but it's also been pushed on Twitter by the son of the incoming national security advisor, Michael Flynn. How do these false stories get so believed that someone ends up going to the restaurant with a gun?
Well, what's happening, I think, Jeremy, is that these pieces of fake news, propaganda, outrage, whatever you want to call them, they aren't being pushed by traditional broadcasters like the New York Times or CNN, but they're still being pushed by enormously influential broadcasters. Alt-right websites with tens of millions of readers, Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers. These are not traditional broadcasters, but they are large, and that's how these fringe ideas are getting into the mainstream. And there's a word that's, that I keep coming back to when I think about these stories. It comes from the world of artworks and auctions. It's provenance. You know, you're selling an Italian Renaissance painting. People ask, where did it come from? You're selling a Persian rug. They say, what's the provenance? Where did this come from? But what we have right now, which is rather disturbing, is an environment where people, including the President of the United States, Donald Trump, seem to not care the provenance, to care about the provenance of these pieces of information. They are taking news from places that are not being careful about where they're getting their news from, or they're deliberately lying and pushing them into the mainstream. And it is getting, as you said, literally dangerous for some people.
But you would think that the market would help decide this, that basically once people were burned by one source that they realized it wasn't true what they had read, that they wouldn't go back to that, and the traditional or the reputable news sources mm-hmm. would rise to the top. What can people do to make sure that they're getting their news from reputable sources, given how many news sources there are?
Well, the first thing to say, Jeremy, is that obviously, of course, what we would wish is that everybody cares about quality news. But unfortunately, I think what a lot of people go to the news for is confirmation bias. They just want to know that their side is right, that the other side is wrong. And whether or not the piece of news is true, whatever its provenance, they just want to believe what they already believed. So how do we get to an area of broader non-political media literacy? The first step, I think, is ignoring propaganda, identifying the propagandists, identifying the websites and sources that you cannot believe and not paying attention to them. The second step, I think, is identifying our own biases, understanding what we believe and disbelieve and saying, do I believe this article because it upholds my priors, because it upholds my biases, or do I believe it because it is making a contained and beautiful case for its own argument? But this is incredibly difficult to do, and it's especially hard to do, I think, when you're a young person just being deluged with so much stuff on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and everything else.
Well, when you're talking about young people, I wonder if it's almost time for a media literacy class to be included in a school, because we are in a very different media environment, and we never kind of train people to, understand what's a reputable news site and what's not, and not be fooled by these things.
That's exactly right. Now, there was an article recently in U.S. News and World Report by Cedar Springs High School teacher Dave Stewart. His solutions looked a lot like mine. He said there's three things you have to do. Number one, identify credible sources. Number two, question sources that come from outside that list. And number three, become an expert in vetting stuff that you read and even vetting your own opinions. His class at the high school now has an article of the week exercise where students bring in an article and discuss it. What parts are true? What parts are not? This is a fabulous idea, but this is truly not exclusively a high school experience or a high school experiment. This is something that people have to do throughout their life, an ongoing education in establishing the veracity of the news that they read.
On the other hand, that I'm sure sounds very political to some, to have the teacher saying these are the sites you should read.
Of course, right. No, that's exactly right. And this is why it's so impossible to have, you know, one God voice to say these are the sites that are good and these are the sites that are bad. You would look at a place like PolitiFact, which was established a few years ago to essentially separate truth from fiction throughout the sort of news ecosystem. But very quickly, you had conservatives saying PolitiFact is biased because it says the Republicans are lying more than Democrats. And you even had some liberals saying PolitiFact is biased because it uses false equivalency to not essentially blame some conservatives as much as they deserve to be blamed for lying. So It is inevitable that any organization that tries to find balance will inevitably be politicized. And this is why it falls not to the organizational level, but to the individual level for us to become our own expert vetters at the news for the news that we read.
That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. We welcome your thoughts at hereandnow.org. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.